With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
Hello, Andrea. How are you? Are you safe from the storm?
You know, it just opened up again. I thought we were done. And it's crazy. It's still raining. I mean, we daven and we daven. You know, we pray like crazy. And everybody said, well, is God listening? Is God listening? Obviously, it's been a slow year for everything else. So the heavens are opening up. It's fantastic.
Well, fantastic. I mean, it's fantastic. I think in Jerusalem there's some good rain, but in Haifa I'm seeing trees being pulled out of the ground and flying all over the place. I mean, it looks like a hurricane.
It really does, because you have to understand something. The trees here, you know, they're not used to. They're not weight bearing because they've never had to become inured to weight. They don't get snow. Whenever it snows here, four flakes come from the heavens and the trees collapse. The people collapse. I'm telling you, four drops, they drive into walls. This country does not do well with any kind of change, which is pretty amazing because Israel is just the embodiment of the day after is nothing like the day before, but they like to be moderate with the weather, a little bit like South Africa. It doesn't get too cold, doesn't get too hot.
And they also like to speed up and try out new driving tricks during the rain, which is not really a great habit.
The problem is with that. I'm telling you, Benji, the reason I can't tell you the reason they do it. There's a lot of things about Israelis. I cannot share the reasons, the rationales. I have to be here another 26 years. However, the reason the driving becomes so terrible after that first rain is unlike you guys, certainly in Johannesburg, you have these glorious summer storms and winter rains, and they always get this kind of a wash, but we go 8 months without rain. And when that first rain comes, the roads are completely slick with dust and car oil, and there's like no traction. But don't tell that to Israelis because they don't want to be confused with those facts.
Now, Andrea, typically at this time of year, places like Jerusalem would be thronging with tourists coming to different parts of the city, particularly religious tourists at this time of year is a big one. I'm assuming that that's not such a big part of this year's celebrations, but nonetheless, I'm sure it is a festive atmosphere in Jerusalem at the moment.
Are you now? It's.
I mean, besides the rain and no one being able to come in, and the lockdowns and the Omicron.
I would assume that it's a little more Labadick, a little more exciting, a little more familiar holiday centric. Not too much, but in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem has a very complex relationship with Christmas. I have to tell you, we don't do Christmas well. You know, It's very bad. Although I should tell you, the municipality, this is great. They give out free Christmas trees. And I'm not sure, you know, I know that there's a lot of Jews who want to get them. I don't know. And they don't get them. I don't know how they, don't pass through the radar, but they give out free Christmas trees. And in the hospitals, certainly that's where we have the most prevalent integration takes place in our fantastic medical system. And we have a lot of Arabs working in the hospitals, and many, many, many of them are Christians. And so a lot of Jews take over for those slots during the season. But I have to tell you, to be fair, I know we want to talk upbeat. We do not do Christmas well here.
Can I ask you, Andrea? I saw a picture. I don't know where it was from, or if it was sort of made up. You know, one of these things that comes on WhatsApp, and it looked like someone dressed up as a Santa Claus somewhere who had been cornered by a Chabadnik, and he was being
putting on
to fill in. But I'm just interested. You know, in Israel in general, Christmas is not like a big deal.
Did you see Santa on the camel?
I didn't see Santa on the camel. No.
Yeah, but he's a Jewish guy, and he goes around spreading Christmas cheer.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, has Christmas in the last few years, like other American holidays, I don't know, Thanksgiving or something, a lot of it comes from America, not necessarily from a religious place. But are you finding that there's more Christmas-ish symbols in and around the country at this time of year?
Certainly not in Jerusalem. With the internet, really, cyberspace has made everything available. They know about it. They have in Tel Aviv winter solstice parties, I believe, and something, Sylvester.
Explain Sylvester for our listeners, because of course New Year's party is not really a thing in Israel, right?
Yeah, it's not, but they do. They make, oh, so is that New Year's, the Sylvester holiday?
That's correct. Yeah, that's what they call New Year's in Israel. Yeah, so I'm going to have to become the correspondent for this segment, I think, Andrew.
You really are. It's terrible. But what I do want to hear, I was going to talk about something very serious, but I do want, because people do laugh and they know that I'm funny. I'm not joking. So the area, that's the municipality. So they know it's the Christmas season. I live not far from Bethlehem. I live actually in a between several Arab villages. Don't ask me what I'm doing here. I have no idea. The prices were right. So I moved here. And so they have the streets decorated. It's through the municipality. And they have on these holiday lights, like on the light poles. You know, like in America, they used to put up, you know, Santa Claus. So here, because it's Jerusalem and everything is a powder keg, you can get a protest for anything. Nobody works. Nobody goes to school. Nobody goes in the army, but they protest. They're out there. So they kind of put up these lights on the light poles, and you know that it's holiday-ish. It's not a menorah. It's not a Christmas tree. It's not Santa. It's not a reindeer. It's not a dreidel. It's ish. It's Labor Day-ish. And I believe it's almost like hypnotism. Like whoever's looking at it sees what they want to see.
Well, it's one way of getting around things. And okay, so there's the different divisions between the different religions, obviously, at this time of year in Jerusalem, and people celebrating different things. But you also want to talk to us about things that unite us.
Well, you know what? Yeah, because, look, I grew up in the secular world. I grew up in the West. I grew up in America. My father was a merchant. He was a dry goods salesman. We used to have an army name. Christmas was big. You know, we used to wear little wreaths with our names in it. We all had these Jewish names. And everybody knew. We would say, Merry Christmas. And everybody would say, and you enjoy your holiday. And I remember my Aunt Bea of blessed memory would say, with the pronounced New York Jewish accent, she would say, how did they know we were Jewish? And, you know, it was bad. But anyway, the point is, there is still, and I know that I'm going to have a lot of, there are going to be certainly, there are certain kinds of religious Jews who are going to scold me for this. Just don't. Anyway, there is something about the peace on earth, goodwill towards men, that I think is indigenously Jewish, because it's indigenously universal. And I do think that there are things that especially, you know, I know that in South Africa, I've spoken with friends, they are suffering just as much as we are from COVID fatigue. It's almost, we don't even know how to pick ourselves up. A new wave, we're all eligible, from what I understand, on Sunday for a fourth vaccine, and with no end in sight, and the fighting, and really the consternation, and people, friends being pitted against friends, we have forgotten to ask the question, what can we do? What role can we play? And I really think that we have to address this kind of funk, this kind of pall, and grab what we can, grab the world by its shoulders and demand validation, demand a seat at the table and say, you know what? We still matter. We still can make decisions. And how can we do that? By especially now more than ever, whether you're a practicing Christian, a practicing Muslim, a devout Hindu, or a Torah sensitive Jew, this is the time to reach beyond ourselves and say, where are things lacking? I just read an article this morning. I know you're going to go to a news break. Apparently, you know, there's a phenomenon in Israel that's never existed before of conversion. That we have more and more converts than ever before from every sector, a lot of from Asia, a lot from India, we have actually a Afrikaans community of Orthodox Jews that were previously, I think, Lutherans and Methodists that are living in Ramat Beit Shemesh. But interesting, I'm hearing about the loneliness. They're isolated. They're marginalized. Many traditional Jews have no experience and don't know how to befriend them. Well, you know what? This is the season to reach out, not because of Christmas, but because the sun rose and the sun set. So this is a day to reach beyond ourselves. And when we, you know, this week's Torah portion, I just thought that this was incredible. That, let me just, oh yeah, this was really great. The Yichus, and I'm teaching Hebrew to anybody who doesn't know, Yichus is that distinguished pedigree that we say, oh, such a girl, such a family, such a man, they have fabulous pedigree. And yet, this week, we read that Moses, his father, his mother, his pedigree isn't even recorded. So the question comes up, who cares who his father was? At a time of life and death, of loneliness, of the difference between the haves and the have-nots, every son and daughter in the world has to rise to the occasion and assume the height of responsibility, whether we're tailor sons, whether we're a rabbi's son, whether we are academically gifted or struggle to put two and two together.
Well, because Andrea, sorry, we are heading towards news, but I think that's a fantastic message and definitely one. Thank you so much for joining us and do enjoy that Andrea Simontov, Israeli personality and talk show host.